Derek, you know, this is generally the time of year where you and I are pronouncing the Canes dead. And we're yeah. standing around and we're having a bit of a funeral and looking forward to the draft. And while we're still looking forward to a beautiful trip in Vancouver, Derek, it seems like the seasons are changing, and not just to a beautiful green here in Carolina, but a season that we haven't seen since, I don't know, 2009, maybe?
So, okay, here's the thing. I was hoping I could delay this, but Mike, you started talking about it right off the bat, and I'm like...
It's what the people demand, Derek.
It is. And I'm afraid to tweet too much excitement. I'm afraid to write anything. If you've noticed, there has been a complete lack of content that is not Hurricane Watch related on 328. I feel like all of us are kind of in the same boat that I am right now, Mike. I'm afraid that this will all slip away. Because in seasons past, you're right, this season does feel very different. We are on the inside, fearing that we'll end up on the outside. But in years past, we were those teams who had the 30% playoff chance, maybe at this point. Maybe it was in the 20s, whatever. But until it happens, until we have that X or that Y next to our team name in the standings, I'm still afraid it's all going to turn to dust, Mike.
Derek, here's... I believe it was you who tweeted out earlier today, there were four, count them four, one, two, three, four, that's, you know, almost a hand that, yeah. or for some people more than a hand.
Yeah, depending on how many times you taught woodshop.
That there are numerous sites, statistical and otherwise, who are saying the Canes have at least a 84% chance of making the playoffs. And this is not October, November. This isn't preseason rankings of, you know, our friends like Dom and Ineffective Math. I mean, this is March statistics, Derek.
I know, I know.
NHL.com has the Canes in the Power 16 constantly and on the rise.
We have the 11th most points in the league. I get all that.
Derek, if I were to tell you that the Nashville Predators had the same amount of points as the Carolina Hurricanes
mm-hmm.
at one point in the last week, and the Nashville Predators have been our near consensus pick of the Western Conference to go to the Stanley Cup Final, Derek, it's time.
It's
time to believe, Derek.
I know. And look, each game I do, because the Canes just keep winning and winning, and I love it. But I'm just like, here's the thing. You look at the lineup on paper. Is this a lineup on paper that you trust to go to the playoffs, let alone go deep in the playoffs?
Derek, it is.
It's not.
It is consistently one of the top-rated defensive cores in the National Hockey League. And I'm telling you, Derek, you may have heard this, and you're a dad now, so you can say things like this. Defense wins championships, Derek.
Look. I get that, and I get that the forward should be more of a concern, but since January 1st, I think we're the highest scoring team in the league.
We are one of them, yes.
So, I know what the numbers tell me, and the numbers are all really good, and they say, Derek, you should be excited, you should set your reservations aside, and you should be happy, and dear God, please give us some written content on section328.com, but I can't. Because every time I buy in, I get burned. I bought in to the despair this season, Mike. It was mid-December, and I wrote something that said, have the Canes broken me? Because it was the same cycle of crap. And this was just before, just after the Whalers game, where everything just turned around. So I was wrong then this season, Mike. I thought it was going to be another crap one. After I thought there was promise at the beginning of the year. So I have conditioned myself that whatever I think is going to happen for this team, I'm wrong. And so I don't want to buy into it yet until it happens, because I don't want to be wrong, because if there's one thing I've learned from watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, heard it from a couple Philadelphia Eagles guys, everything that fans do has a direct impact on players' performance. And I don't want to be responsible for the Canes missing the playoffs because I believed too damn much.
Well, Derek, I think Caniac Nation believes. Derek, I believe. I've been saying playoffs out loud now for the better part of 6-8 weeks.
You said it live at Bottle Mix on Groundhog Day.
Yes. So that's four weeks. I was saying it before then, and Derek, it's interesting. You look at Sarah Sivian with The Athletic, who we all, I think, know and love and greatly appreciate all of her work, wrote a very interesting article on the dichotomy of huge loss to Canadian team followed up by win at the Nashville Predators. And for those of you who may not be subscribed to The Athletic, A, go to theathletic.com and fix that so you can read Sarah's great work. But B, what she said was, last year, went to Toronto, 8-1 drubbing in Toronto, for all intents and purposes, the beginning of the Scott Darling downfall, followed up by a 4-1 win in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, 8-1 drubbing at the hand of the Winnipeg Jets on Friday night, and we'll get to that a little bit later. And then the follow-up, 4-2, 5-2 win.
5-3?
5-3.
Whatever it was, we won by a couple goals.
Yes.
And looked pretty good doing it.
Yes. So, but she pointed to the captaincy, and she went back and she quoted what Jordan and Justin had said last year as the co-captains of, hey, we just didn't bring it. We didn't do good. You know, I really hope we show up better tomorrow night. Versus what Justin said after the game in Winnipeg, which was, this wasn't us. I demand more. Excuses are for losers. We're going to be better. This team bounces back. I have faith in them. They've shown it all year. And the captain said, and the coach, Rod Brendamore, mm-hmm. said the same thing.
And Justin Falk made a comment about, how would someone in the WWE landscape put it? Testicular fortitude.
He also suggested that we put forth maximal effort. And I'm actually, so if...
Which, I mean, that is a word, but it's... Not the one you'd normally use in that situation.
But I think what I, Derek, that is a future Section 328 shirt. If this team continues on this, we may have to make a maximal effort t-shirt and put maximal effort into it by just piping out the letters maximal effort,
mm-hmm.
To use the minimum or the
minimal
is actually a word.
Yes.
Maximal is not.
Maximal is a word.
But it's not the word.
No, maximum. I think it's probably what he meant.
That's what he's right. Anyway, so yeah, it is very much a tale of 2 years, two very similar back-to-back sequences, where in one you knew that it was the beginning of the end. It just felt like gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whereas this one, it's like, okay, and Derek, you and I are, you know, we've had this discussion before. We're waiting for the shoe to drop.
Oh,
and there's
God,
this,
yeah.
And there's this feeling amongst, you know, kind of the long-term Caniacs, and I'm not trying to gatekeep here or anything. I'm just saying those of us who have been, you know, really close fans of this team for the last 10 years maybe have a different feeling from folks who have, you know, recently relocated to Raleigh and only been doing this a year.
And so. Haven't had their spirits broken as many times.
Exactly. So, it's we're just constantly waiting for, here comes the 7-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, and we've had it this year. We had the bad losing streak in December and really put ourselves behind the eight ball. But ever since the calendar has turned to 2019, this team has answered the bell seemingly every single time. And again, I point to the leadership of Justin Williams. I think the voice of Justin Williams in the room. We'd be remiss if we didn't point out that this is the fastest coach ever to 80 points in their inaugural season with Rod Brendamore. The first coach, I believe he's going to be by the end of this season, should things continue like they are, he will be the highest scoring first season coach or most point getting first season coach in Carolina Hurricanes franchise history.
Gotta love it. So, and look, the way the Islanders have kind of come back down to reality, there damn well better be some Jack Adams talk for Brendamore.
Right. I mean, when that's it, you know, 2 months ago, it was Trotsky who was running away with this. And there is a chance, albeit not a great chance, but we are within earshot of surpassing the New York Islanders to reach the number 2 seed in the Metropolitan Division. If that were to happen and Rod Brendamore doesn't at least get a few votes, I mean, here's going to be the God's honest shame of this season, is John Cooper is going to not win another Jack Adams trophy when his team is breaking all of the records. Mm-hmm. wins. I believe the statistics I saw today is the teams who had reached the whatever it is 111 point plateau this early in the season. I want to say it was the 94-95 Detroit Red Wings, who, if I recall, were pretty good.
rumor has it.
And I believe before that it was like the 70s Boston Bruins, and then all of those Montreal teams that had to play six teams and just basically run roughshod on the league.
But we see it all the time in college sports, like Coach K and Roy in the ACC. They don't win Coach of the Year as often as a Virginia Tech coach who just exceeded their expectations. I mean, there's a lot to be said for taking a ragtag bunch of guys, but just like a team that had low expectations and getting them to perform above average or even outstanding. There is a skill to that, and those coaches should be rewarded, but there is also a skill to managing a team that has incredibly high expectations like Tampa and then exceeding those. That's a hell of a skill. John Cooper deserves more Jack Adams talk, and as crazy as it is, Mike, you know the other name that's going to be there at the end for the Jack Adams.
Who's that?
He's a man who's very particular about his water.
Yeah, I know. It can't though, right? I mean,
it? Don't they lead the West in points still?
I don't know. I don't care. He's dead to me.
That's the other thing. But you talked about the change in leadership from last year with the co-captaincy to this year with Justin Williams and what Brind'Amour's done. I think there's a lot of the way this team responds to their coach and the way the coach reads his team.
And you know, for as much hell and as grief as we've given Bill Peters for not only his time as when he was the Carolina Hurricanes coach, but ever since, you know, this is, I think this just goes to show how important it is and to know it's not only skill, but it's skill plus the quality of your players, plus your system. You know, there's so many pieces that kind of have to mesh together there, right?
Yep.
And Rod Brind'Amour is definitely meshing with his team. Bill Peters is meshing with his team. Barry Trotz seemingly meshes wherever. And I think that that's just been really phenomenal to see, a New York Islanders team that we expected to be just moribund this year after the John Tavares exit, and now we're sitting here and we're talking about Rod Brind'Amour and Barry Trotz both being potentially at least in the conversation for Jack Adams. I think we all agree that, you know, Bill Peters is probably going to be there. John Cooper should probably win it, but it's going to be, you know, the team that overperformed this year, as it always is.
So talking standings, and if we were to get in the playoffs, as long as it's not Tampa that we play in the first round, do you care?
I do. I do. I really, really, really would like to avoid the New York Islanders.
Really?
It's just seemed like they are the, and again, if I look back to, you know, opening night and we're like, oh yeah, we got the Islanders, this should be, oh no. And then, and then, you know, the Islanders have just handled us tonight. Robin Lehner, this entire season has looked like the Vezina front runner every time he's faced this Carolina Hurricanes team. If you go by the fancy stats, the Washington Capitals have been more lucky than good this season.
Mm-hmm.
By those statistics, they are due to run out at some point. And knowing that the long season and offseason the Washington Capitals had, I don't hate the idea of reigniting a Southeast Division rivalry by being able to play the Caps and the Caps road crew making road trips and us making a couple of road trips up to DC.
I love it.
To reignite kind of that rivalry, because Pittsburgh is dead, and the Washington-Pittsburgh rivalry is going to be dead. So why don't we go ahead and become Washington's new rival in the Metro?
Yeah, I like it. I also, like, on one hand, I don't care. If we get in, I truly don't care who we play because I just want playoff hockey in that building and anything can happen.
I do care. I do not want the death sentence of having that WC2.
I don't either, but I'd take it.
I mean, I would absolutely take it because it would be much easier on my wallet.
Yeah, but I also fear playoff Malkin.
No, I think
when Malkin cares.
And Derek, we're gonna get to this in a little bit. Let's
Okay.
We'll get to.
I was flashing back too to the Washington series way back when, like that was really heated, and I just remembered the guy's name, Jason Doig. Remember when he and Jesse Bolaris wanted to murder each other?
Oh yeah, I mean that was when Ole the goalie was still in goal. Oh yeah. I think. Yeah.
God, Jason Doig.
So
swig a beer if anybody else remembers that name.
Oh man. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. This is Cheaters Never Win. We've got a great episode here for you tonight.
Yeah, this intro.
We're talking playoffs. We're talking the last couple of games. We're going to talk the next few games. Amazing guest, one of our most requested guests and one of our favorite guests of all time, Allison L. From The Athletic. She's covered the Columbus Blue Jackets for quite some time. She's going to be on a little bit later to talk to us about the Columbus Blue Jackets, how they're meshing as a team. Does she think they're going to be one of the three teams that actually, right now, as you look at it, there's kind of three playoff spots available for four teams. What's it going to take for the Columbus Blue Jackets to secure one of those spots? And maybe more importantly, we'll get her breakdown of what to expect on Friday night's big tilt when the Carolina Hurricanes visit Columbus for a very big 4-point game. You know Columbus is going to be rocking on a Friday night and before the Canes come back here on Saturday to play Buffalo. So lots of stuff to do there. We've got a beer review. We've got cheat mail. Derek, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
No, Derek's got nothing. You got that X button.
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, a playoff preview edition.
You son of a bitch.
Of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we're still brought to you by the good folks at BottleMix, by Kaniac _ Realtor Don from Fathom Realty.
Respect the underscore.
And we're still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. So the Sports Channel 8 guys, I believe, are down in Charlotte this week covering the ACC tournament.
Fun fact about the Sports Channel 8 guys, we are working with them on the regular season finale tailgate.
Yes, regular season.
Regular season. We expect to have more great tailgates afterwards. We hope to have more great tailgates afterwards. But we would not be us if we didn't go all out for the 4-4 tailgate. And we're going to have some special guests at that tailgate.
We are, and I believe these special guests may be what we refer to as hashtag internet famous.
Yes, abso-damn-lutely. Jillian Fisher, you may know her from all her fantastic NHL fan videos where she must have the world's largest t-shirt collection of hockey shirts. She will be joining us on 4-4 to add even more fun to that day. So take the day off work. Come on out. Tailgate with us. It's going to be a great day. We'll have a lot more details later about who's providing what, but come on out. If you listen to this podcast, if you follow us on Twitter, those are your invitations. All you need to bring is yourself, but the more food, the more drink that anybody cares to bring and share with the group, the merrier.
Yeah, we're fully hoping and expecting it to be a, Derek, I'm thinking it's going to be a 100-person deep tailgate at least.
Oh, Easy.
So lots of fun to be had. Lots of good folks out there. I actually had somebody else reach out to me today, Derek, asking if they could help cater. So we'll talk about that a little bit off the air.
Word.
So we
it's
love,
not Olive Garden, is it?
It is not.
Okay, Olive then Garden. I am open to it.
Derek, but breadsticks.
Yeah. They are not a sponsor.
Breadsticks. Breadsticks also not a sponsor.
Actually, I would be open to just breadsticks being a sponsor of this podcast, no matter where you get them. Enjoy them.
Yeah. What wasn't that the Italian place on Saved by the Bell? Breadsticks.
I don't know.
I think so. There was like a kids or somebody show they went and they had breadsticks. I'm sure somebody part of the there's a fairly large and growing Cheaters Never Win correction crew out there,
which I love.
So I look forward to somebody correcting me and telling me exactly where that was. But Derek, let's hit the way back button here and let's talk a little bit about that Winnipeg game.
It sucked. Back to you. This was one of the things that you brought up earlier when you said, look, not trying to say, oh, old fans versus new fans and we're better fans. But no, the 2006 season, the first thing that was talked about a lot in 328 during this 8-1 drubbing at the hands of Winnipeg was, boy, this kind of feels a lot like that 9-0 Thrashers game the year we won the cup. And it did. It was just, we came out completely flat. We got abused by a team that has some high-end talent in Winnipeg. And here's the thing, Mike. I don't hate losing a game 8-1 in this fashion. It's just like, it's so out of character. You can say, guys, that wasn't us. It's not like you played you got up three goals and you let everything get away in the last minute. Like the Boston loss, if we didn't make it to overtime against Boston, that would have been a much harder loss to take for me than that Winnipeg game. Because it's like, this was so bad. We're all better than this. Screw it. Put it in the trash can and just move on.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell 3-4 minutes into that game, team didn't have it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some nights where you just like, and you know, I think we all do this, right? I mean, you guys who regularly listen to our podcast, I'm sure you can, you know, go through the first 5-10 minutes of the podcast and be like, yep, this one's a shitter. Delete.
Carry on.
So, I mean, it was just that type of night, Derek. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. And shout out to a good friend of the podcast, Wolf Jester, who actually came down from Asheville, big Winnipeg fan. Congratulations to him on seeing that. And, Derek, I wanted to kind of touch on the Winnipeg game was almost a one-year anniversary of last year's Winnipeg game, which was our Connors jersey game. For those of you who were here last year, took part of it, or may have heard the story, Connor's jersey. Connor was a Winnipeg fan who basically got killed in an auto accident before he was ever had a chance to go to see his Winnipeg Jets play live for the first time during his freshman year of college. So one of his good friends actually created a memorial jersey, and that memorial jersey made its way around to all 30 NHL cities, ended its way in Winnipeg, and then last summer his parents and the family actually got to go to a Stanley Cup final game sponsored by the National Hockey League, and then the jersey went to its final resting place, which was Connor's parents' house. I wanted to share this. I got an amazing thank you card from Connor's family.
That's awesome.
It was very touching. And to see Wolf, who was one of those guys who came down specifically for Connor's jersey to pay respects and honor a fellow Winnipeg fan. But he and I have actually become pretty close, you know, in the following year, and came down and brought cookies from Asheville, not those type of cookies. Feel free to bring those next time. But it was just great to see him.
The Section 328 Denver crew, if you're listening.
Yeah, we do actually have a crew in Denver tonight. We thought about getting them on the podcast, but we're assuming they're knee-deep in brownies and bacon flights at this point and could not do anything coherently. Not that they would ever do anything like that. We're not assuming they are. We just wish they were.
Yeah, so sorry to trample on what was a genuinely nice story about Winnipeg, but you just brought up bacon flights, and I've mentioned the fact that in Dallas I enjoyed a bacon flight or three a few times. It may be kind of like a thing that people associate with me now, but here's the thing. Shouldn't more cities have at least one establishment that sells a damn flight of bacon?
Yeah, but Derek, I mean, how many places can get away with selling 6 pieces of bacon for $10?
If it's good bacon, I'm in. Whew. Look, you go to a crappy diner and a side of 3 slices of bacon will run you $2, right?
Yeah, 2, 4, 6. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and now you're getting good bacon that may be from different animals.
Ooh.
Like, the one in Dallas, I had duck and lamb. Bacon.
I like a nice thin slice of mutton.
Yeah. So the thing is, it's not the flight of bacon, it's not something I want all that often. But when I want to have
You want it every day, Derek.
No, I don't. No, no, I want to live to see my daughter graduate high school at least.
No, want and need are two very different things.
You're right. But when that flight of bacon craving kicks in that I just can't resist, I don't want to have to hop on a plane.
Yeah. So
Ashley Christensen, I know you're listening. Get a flight of bacon at one of your establishments. You have like 34 restaurants in Raleigh. Have one of them you open up a chicken joint, have a baconry.
Ooh. Oh, the Raleigh Baconry.
If anybody, Actually, there you go. If anybody's listening, baconry.
You know where that would go over really well? Morgan Street Food Hall, also not a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah.
But a little place like that to
just,
have like,
just cranking out business ideas here,
Mike. You know what we should do? Head chef over at PNC Arena, Mike Flood, should create a place called the Raleigh Baconry and then not serve bacon.
Well, not
that I'm bitter about not being able to get corn dog nuggets or anything, jackass.
So does PNC stand for place with no corn dog nuggets?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the problem is you can get corn dog nuggets. You just have to be in the suites.
Yeah.
And you have to pre-purchase them. I don't know. something about
harumph, harumph,
harumph, harumph.
So the Winnipeg game sucked.
The one, yeah.
The
Winnipeg game sucked.
Yes.
Hockey friends are great.
Yes.
And again, it's amazing what this hockey community do when we bond together and we make good friends. And it feels like, Derek, I know as much as you don't want to talk about the playoffs and all the things that are coming, the amount of friends that we starting to see come to us, because we've had people we haven't talked to for a little time reach out to us and say, hey guys, are you excited? Are you ready? I've had 3 people in the last week reach out to me and say, hey, can I buy playoff strips on your account? Because I think I want to go ahead and buy playoff strips now. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to charge your premium for them, you jerk off. Why don't you just buy season tickets and support the team?
Wow, gatekeeper over there.
No, I mean, again, it's people who know that what they want is my...
They want your discount.
They want my discount.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no.
They want my priority.
Oh, no. I'm tracking with you. You know, I decided... If I didn't give you a grief, this wouldn't be this podcast.
Give me all the grief, Derek. Let's talk a little bit about that Nashville game, though.
Significantly better. I still don't understand what it is and is not goaltender interference. I think I joined the officiating crew from that night. But I liked the game. It was great to see a good bounce back from the team against a team who can play more physical. I mean, Wayne Simmonds was throwing his body around. The team responded really nicely. Aho doing Aho things. I truly enjoyed the effort, and it was sorely needed, because you, like last year, you didn't want to see that 1-8-1 win or loss that you should be able to just compartmentalize ruin the next handful of games.
Right. And Nashville, we did Nashville no favors by losing so poorly to Winnipeg. Winnipeg jumped them. They're now in the 2-hole in the playoffs. And we all know that Nashville wants home ice advantage through as many rounds as possible. I don't think they're going to catch Calgary, which would mean the Western Conference final home ice advantage would not be theirs. But what they don't want to do is only want to have one secured home ice advantage in one round.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the team came out hard. They played heavy on the puck. It wasn't without breakdowns, and the game was so... I even made this comment on Twitter. I mean, the game was just back and forth. It was up and down the ice. It was fast. It was heavy hitting. You know, when you think playoff hockey, you think heavy hits and real tight checking and not a lot of movement. And this was really tight checking and heavy hockey, but just non-stop movement and quick and feet and action. And I was really scared when it got to 4-3 and, you know, like, oh crap, this is a Canes team that almost played last night. And that was the part of me. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's a good thing.
At least the top six was rested.
Right. That they did not play a whole hell of a lot of a great game and a tough game against Winnipeg, because it seemed like they had at least a little bit of legs left, to be able to finish off our friends in Nashville. But I just look at, again, Rod Brind'Amour has consistently said our top line has to be able to drive us. You look at what Sebastian Aho did. You look at Nino Niederreiter, who had just an abomination of a game Friday night. His first real bad game wearing the sightless eye.
I think they said it was a franchise record -6.
Yes. To come out and score the first 2 goals. You know, just to, and that, oh my gosh, that little toe drag, you know, drag and pull, just snipe in a corner.
He's not bad. That was a decent trade.
Yeah. I mean, he has now scored more goals for us in 21 games than he did with Minnesota in 46. Derek, you want to know what I say?
What's that?
When you have Eric Staal as a center, all he does is keep good wingers down. I don't even know if he played on the same line as Eric Staal. I just want to give him that blast.
I don't either. And I enjoyed that. I think 8% of people who voted in our Twitter poll said they would like to reverse the Rask El Nino trade. You also astute 328 Twitter followers may have noticed that both Mike and I were tweeting, because you would see multiple GIFs of Chris Farley both times that El Nino scored. And I was like, these are all so good. We both agreed we're not deleting any of them.
Yes.
Because screw it. But thinking of that trade, it's always nice when the trade works out for both teams. Like, I wish Victor Rask no ill in Minnesota. I hope he plays well. But we fleeced Minnesota on that trade to this point.
I also think that's why we did not get Jason Zucker at the trade deadline.
Because Paul Fenton's afraid to pick up that phone and lose another one.
He is blocked by Don Waddell. I mean, he has blocked Don Waddell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the way this team has responded is unlike a lot of things we have seen in quite some time. And we have to, folks, continue to fill the PNC Arena. Mike Foreman made an interesting tweet on Saturday afternoon that for the first time, I believe, in 6 or 7 years, the average attendance for a Canes season is now over 14,000 per game.
Hey.
And that's the first time in a long time.
Funny how winning games helps that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't looked up the statistics and the numbers, and I don't want to ticket, you know, shame anyone, because it's hard to go watch your team play when your team is consistently losing. But here's what we would ask of everybody. Go grab a friend. This team is fun. Pick up some tickets. Pick up some cheap tickets. Or if you're a college kid, go get college rush tickets. You know, if you're a family, go get a family four-pack of tickets and food for like $130. Hell, that's almost what it costs for a family of four to go to the movies at this point.
And we don't, like, we're not sponsored by Reddit either, but the Canes established an official presence on Reddit where from time to time they'll just give out tickets to a game.
Yeah.
So check that out too.
Yeah.
There are ways to go that aren't paying full fare.
Get to the games, get a ticket. The building is rocking. It needs to continue to stay rocking. The team feeds off the energy. And then the team, for the first time in a long time, the team's feeding the energy. They're putting a great product on the ice. You know, I don't think we've had enough talk or much talk at all at the new 3D projection system and theatrical lighting.
That stuff's coming.
No, the 3D, that projection system that we have, they just haven't programmed it yet.
Oh, okay. I was like, we haven't seen the 3D yet.
That kind of takes time.
Okay.
From everything I've been told. But that projection system has the ability to do that stuff.
Okay.
It's just because, like, you know, for those of you who have been at the game, you know, they like laser line all of the lines on the rink and then they blast the logo to be able to program all of the stuff kind of falling away in that. I think takes a little while. I'm sure you could go buy those packages, but I'm sure those packages
are not cheap. They bought it for a playoff game, I think, in must have been 09.
No, they rented it.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah,
yeah, like they rented it for a playoff game in 09. So that's been really good. The Canes Vision have upped their game. Just you know, little things like Tom Dundon, when he said, and we're, you know, right now just past the one year of Tom buying the team. You know, he said he was going to make players more accessible. Things like the fan tunnel. We've seen more players out doing more stuff in the community this year. You know, Justin Williams' leadership has been there. It's just, all of these things are coming together, and I do want to give a little stick tap to our boy and our owner, Thomas Dundon.
to our boy and owner. That's a good combination. I like that, Mike.
Yeah. Everybody scoffed at him when he hired Don Waddell after firing Ron Francis and supposedly getting pushback from a bunch of other quote-unquote legitimate GM candidates. So far, it's worked. The draft picks, you know, obviously the Svechnikov draft pick kind of fell into our lap, so it's tough to screw that one up. But it seems like the draft picks are going well. Some of the signings are going well. The trades thus far, the Dougie Hamilton trade and Michael Ferlin trade.
That's worked out well for Calgary, too. And that's
worked
that's
out well
great.
For both teams. The Rask for El Nino trade.
All right.
It's worked out great. The pickup of Curtis McElhinney, the signing of Peter Mrazek. I mean, you think about both of those are Don Waddell choices. The fastest coach to this many points this far in a season was the coach everybody wanted to mock. This is the crew that Tom Dundon put together, says we are going to do this together. We're going to do this with the likes of Vellucci and Tatum and Tulski and Waddell and me and Brindamore
and
Rick Dudley. And we're going to do this together. Gosh, that's a name we haven't even talked about. I mean, and it's working, y'all. And for all of the 200 hockey men who wanted to say this organization was going to be a joke. Oh my gosh. If it were Toronto versus Carolina in an Eastern Conference final, to personally hand feed Jeff O'Neill a plate of overcooked crow would be So delightful.
I'm just picturing like Cartman in a Canes jersey licking away the tears on Scott Tenorman's face wearing a Leafs jersey.
Oh, we're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves, Derek.
A mite bit.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
We should probably go to our special guest.
Ooh.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
And Derek, joining us on the Caniac Realtor guest line, we have Allison Lucan, former guest of the podcast, current guest of the podcast.
Hey.
Also currently writing for The Athletic, the greatest place you can go get all of the coverage of the National Hockey League. Derek, permission to treat tonight's guest as a hostile witness?
No.
Damn it. Okay, Allison. For those of you who don't know, you have been associated in covering everything for Columbus and the Blue Jackets for quite some time. You may or may not be aware that the Canes and Blue Jackets, for the first time, I believe, in history, are in the midst of a playoff battle with the Canes going into Columbus for a pivotal four-point match. Dare I say it is a pivotal global event. Sure.
I've heard this. I've heard some of this is going on. I feel like people are watching these things happening. It's very strange.
It's so weird. So, Allison, for those of us who have been so enthralled in Caniac Nation for the last couple of weeks since the trade deadline, catch folks up. How is this new team in Columbus kind of meshing and coming together, and what should the Caniacs expect when we visit Columbus on Friday night?
Yeah, it's been an interesting stretch here. It was obviously an active deadline for Columbus, far more active than, honestly, I even expected in terms of the steps that the team took. But it was a slower start, I think, than people expected, particularly because the team made three kind of lower profile adds last year and gelled two games in. They won their game on trade deadline day, lost two, and then went on a 10-game win streak. So they're not that successful this time around just yet, but they do finally seem to be hitting their stride. Matt Duchene is kind of coming along. Ryan Zingle is getting back on the score sheet. So they're putting pieces together, but as both of our bases know, there's not a lot of time. It's about do or die right now.
I was just looking at the Blue Jackets schedule and good God, it is an Eastern Conference matchup nightmare for you guys right now. It was at Pittsburgh, home for Pittsburgh, at the Islanders, home for Boston, then the Canes, then you're at Boston, and then, at Calgary to start off a Western Conference road swing. I mean, that is not the easiest schedule for Columbus to muster, but it does get a little easier after that. So, I mean, what is the mood outside the locker room in Columbus? What are fans thinking of? How is this team going to come together? Can they make the playoffs this year in a really, really tough division?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, the energy is certainly stressed, right? And and you can't, I'm sure you guys are experiencing the same thing. What a luxury to have this kind of stress in the first place, right? To even be in these conversations, but that doesn't make it any better. I mean, we know the realities of this situation. So it's stressful, particularly because the moves the Jackets made were so high profile and because the clock is ticking. I mean, this organization knows that it's highly likely that Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin are not here next year. Huge talents. So there's pressure from a couple different angles, and I don't think it's going to calm down unless this team can lock in not the second wild card, right? Because that's the trick this year for every team in the East is get in, but also don't play Tampa. Let's be real.
Yeah, Tampa is going on a bit of a murderer's row, and you really kind of put it, you know, not only are the Blue Jackets potentially losing Bobrovsky and Panarin, but Zingle and Duchene, both pending free agents, and the Yarmo with, I believe, a third and a seventh in this year's draft, and really kind of pushed all the chips in. So, Allison, it's been one of those situations for Columbus that not only they've made some progress and they've gotten into the playoffs, but they haven't been able to escape the first round. Is this year's, what's going to make Columbus Blue Jackets fans consider this year a success? Is it getting far enough in the playoffs to maybe re-sign some of these players and have them buy in? What does success look like in Columbus this year?
Yeah, I appreciate that you made that point about the signings, because I do think that there's two measures here, okay? So the first is postseason and progress in the postseason. I think that regardless if this team can get into the second round and ideally win in the second round, I think even if all four of those free agents leave, it's going to be, I mean, it's not enough unless you win a cup, right? But it's going to be enough in this context. I think that will be a mile marker that's acceptable, if you will. Add in that variable of signings. Let's say that this team doesn't win the second round, but maybe wins the first round and Duchesne decides to stay. I think that's a win. If they can't get into the playoffs and everyone leaves, that's a disaster. if they don't make some significant noise in the postseason and Duchesne, Panarin, and Bobrovsky all go elsewhere, that's going to be bad. I think it has to be at least one of the big names returning, which honestly most likely would be Duchesne of the three, and then definitely at least winning a first round. I think that's what has to happen.
So does this team's success, I mean, how much of it rides on Bobrovsky? He obviously didn't have the greatest start of the season, but it seems like of late he has kind of returned to a little bit more of the Bobrovsky that the rest of the league knows and respects as a top flight goaltender. He had, I think, back-to-back shutouts right before the yep. trade deadline. And then I just looked and he had back-to-back one goal games in his last two starts. Is he back to the goaltender that we should fear can come out and stonewall you every night? Or is there still that inconsistency that is giving some folks in Columbus that added stress that we've already talked about?
Yeah, I think it is. And full credit to the player. He's obviously very talented. Two Vezinas obviously speaks for itself, but he still has the elite play in him. But as you said, it has definitely been inconsistent. We haven't had a long stretch of Bob being Bob being Bob. So to your point, I think that adds. I mean, this is a team that historically rode Bobrovsky to get into the postseason. And what's crazy and what's kind of been maddening about this stretch after the trade deadline is that this season they've actually been riding their offense more than their goaltending. So he is still not night in and night out the exact same player, but overall slight uptick. But again, this is not to say he's done. He's still a very good player, but this year has been not his best.
Yeah, and Allison, when these teams come together on Friday night, you're going to see two teams that have definitely been relying on their offense. Carolina, with basically a ramshackle crew of goaltenders there, of Curtis McElhinney and Peter Mrazek. What do you foresee with the two coaches behind the bench between Torts and Brind'Amour? What's the matchup that both coaches are going to be looking for to give themselves the upper hand on Friday night?
These games are always quite fascinating to me because Carolina is a team that quietly always seems to have Columbus's number. You know, it's never an easy game. It's a style that slows down the Blue Jackets. So I think what Tortorella is going to want to see, now he'll tell you he does not match lines. That's what he'll tell you. But I think what he really wants to see is he's got this line of Boone Jenner centering Nick Foligno and Josh Anderson. Now, Boone is actually out ill right now, but I would assume he'll be back for the Carolina game. That's kind of been their identity line. And I think that if that line gets going, that kind of propels the rest of the team to play they want to play. And then, of course, and yeah, I'll pick on the one time the Jackets had Carolina's number decidedly this year was when Cam Atkinson played so well down there. That top line, it was only one game.
that little gnat destroyed us that night. Jeez, Pete.
But that line would be the other one that I think Tortorella has really relied on. Again, as we said, for the key offensive production, that's where I think the points are going to come from. And then if you get more from the Duchesne and Zingle line with Oliver Bjorkstrand, that's really great, but it's going to be those first two I mentioned that really kind of push this team to where it needs to be right now.
So, Allison, last question that I have, because I know there's a Jackets game tonight that you might have your eyes set on, but for Friday's tilt, if there are any Caniacs either heading up to Columbus or who already live in that area and don't know what they should imbibe, what's some good local beer that they could look for?
Great. I love this question. And one of the things that we're proud of here in Columbus is the area around the arena. There are definitely a ton of places. If you just walk around, you'll find burger places, Irish places. But some key places that I always like to tell folks to check out is our hockey bar is called R, as in the letter, bar, R bar. That's right close to the arena. And then a local brewery that's awesome is called Wolf's Ridge. You can walk to the arena back and forth to that place. They have a restaurant and a tap room, depending on what kind of experience you want. And if you're going to get in a car or maybe bike or use a scooter, you can head over to High Bank Distillery. So they're not a brewery, but they make their own spirits. And that, if you want a little bit of local history, that is the establishment that has offered Artemi Panarin free vodka for life, should he choose to sign the Blue Jackets. If you heard about the billboard, that's who it is.
Oh, we absolutely heard about the billboard. We heard somebody in Johnston County offered him unlimited
bathtub gin.
Yeah, unlimited bathtub gin. For some reason, doesn't seem to have the same thing. I'll also say, Derek, as someone haven't spent a lot of time in Columbus, but if you want to feel just awful about yourself the next day, go spend about 30 minutes at Buckeye Donuts, and oh, God,
oh yeah,
so
oh,
good, yeah. So oh, good. It's yeah. The only time I'll ever say anything good about a Buckeye. She is at Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N-L, Allison L, over on the Twitters. She is one of the best follows, one of the smartest people in all of hockey. You can catch all of her great stuff on The Athletic. If you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, what the H are you doing? They have writers like Allison and our very own Sarah Sivian. So while they are not a sponsor of this podcast, and Myrtle hasn't called, we still love everything that he's doing. And Allison, we can't say thank you enough for taking a little bit of time out of your day to join us here on Cheaters Never Win. We wish you nothing but the worst of luck in your games tonight and the rest of the season. And that's nothing personal. We hope you understand.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And in all seriousness, I think it's great that the team is doing what it's doing down there, and what a joy to take in and celebrate and see the kind of the culture that's re-blossoming there around the team. It's exciting to watch, and I do wish you guys the best.
Well, we appreciate it, and if there is a playoff game to be had in Raleigh with Columbus versus Carolina, we expect you at a 328 tailgate.
I'll be there for sure, I promise.
Excellent. Beautiful. Take care. Thanks Allison. Allison Lucan. Absolutely, literally one of the best people in all of hockey. Adore her.
We have gotten nothing but great feedback from the first time she came on, so very happy that she was able to take some time out of her what had to be a hectic schedule pre-Blue Jackets game to chat with us.
Not only that, but she's just made her way back from the big, I believe it's the MIT, no, I don't think it was the Sloan. It was one of the big analytics conferences that happened this past weekend. She was there as well. So Allison, not only great at the hockey, but also one of the leaders in the analytics movement. And again, just absolutely phenomenal. Go to The Athletic, follow her, read her stuff. She's amazing.
Do all of that.
Also, Derek, we need to get to cheat mail.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a beer review that we need to do. You mentioned this earlier. I just want to reiterate it. Make your plans now. Request off work. Get off work early. Things are coming together for the massive end of season tailgate. So food sponsors are getting lined up. Beer sponsors are getting lined up. The world champs of the world,
holler,
are working on their cornhole game, so we look forward to seeing you guys there. But we could talk about the games that are coming up this week, Derek, real quick. Tonight, Colorado, Mile High City.
Thanks to the 328 road crew who is there. Meg at Love and Hydrogen is there, along with Dan and Ashley, who are phenomenal people. She's saved by Quick. And I forget Dan's.
Caniac underscore 176, I believe, is Dan McLaughlin.
That sounds right. Yeah, I forget if it had an underscore or not. But either way, they're all out there having a heck of a time, enjoying bacon flights, and hopefully not letting the altitude affect them too badly. So hope that they get to see the Hurricanes win and not an Avalanche win. I think they will.
Yeah, I think those two top lines are going to match up really well. I think Nino Niederreiter, having seen these guys a lot this season already, may help. And I'm feeling really positive about what's going to happen in Columbus. I'm sorry, in Colorado, and then Columbus, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. That is going to be a very, very telling four-game stretch, I believe, mm-hmm. over three or four nights, starting this Friday night in Columbus.
That Columbus is going to be a tough one because that atmosphere is going to be rocking like it was when they hosted the Penguins the other night. I unfortunately think we're going to drop that one. We'll come back, kick the crap out of the Sabres, and then Pittsburgh. I never know with Pittsburgh.
I mean, they've got Geno and Sid. As long as they have those two guys, they're in it. But that defense is AHL caliber at best, as long as Chris Letang and his Pantene quality hair is not returning.
So it's
going to be an interesting couple of days. I just hope the Canes can pull off the win on Saturday, put together a little storm surge, and then we're going to have most of the by then we've got a high percentage of the away games kind of knocked out of the schedule, at least until that final week of the season, and we can enjoy a little bit of home cooking. You know what else is good at home, Derek?
What's that?
Cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. Derek, what you got for me?
This one from our buddy Dustin Boudreaux at MGoPuck. Should we be worried that we haven't seen a new Aho contract yet?
No, because the team and Aho's representation explicitly stated that they did not want to distract from anything, and they were going to talk about that in the offseason. So, no, I have 0.0 concerns. Sebastian Aho will get signed for probably 8 years by $10 million at this point.
That was the number I had in mind. That's nuts, but right now, he's worth it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Derek, let's go to... this was an interesting one. Our buddy TJ Roush at TJ Roush 1. Why don't they ever really reveal an injury? It's always upper body or lower body. What's the real deal?
The real deal is Evander Holyfield.
Yes, that is correct.
But I think the real deal with those injuries is it's protecting the players, because the mentality of, if you know this guy's got a bad ankle, the opposing team will do things to target that ankle.
Not only is it that, I believe it's actually in the CBA that specifically says they will only say upper body, lower body.
And especially come playoffs, then it just might be a body injury.
Yes, it is a bodily injury.
Better than the out-of-body injury. Here we go, from Kevin Kohler at Kohler KO8. Thoughts on the proposed $200 million upgrades to PNC, and what would be your one pipe dream or unrealistic upgrade to make our arena stand out and draw people in?
Ooh.
So we talked about some of the changes a little earlier. You mentioned the scoreboard, the projection, those things, but... What do you think?
For those who haven't seen it, go out to the Google machine and Google PNC Renovations 2020, and you can actually see the full slide deck of the architecture firm that was presented this past week to the Centennial Authority. Some of that includes revamping the PNC Arena area, or the open square area out there where the ticket will call is, providing some open air bars, basically turning that into a multi-level open-air bar to overlook kind of Carter Finley Stadium. Absolutely love that idea of the, kind of a rooftop bar to be able to enjoy PNC Arena both pre- and post-game. I think that's great not only for hockey games, but for other events, particularly concerts, to really spend some quality time and quality cash inside the arena to pay Storm Gale Force Holdings, because they need it to pay Sebastian Aho, as we just mentioned. One pipe dream, maybe it's less a pipe dream, but I think here's why. I need the Rod Brindamore statue of him hoisting the Stanley Cup, and I think it has less to do with being a pipe dream because of the cost of it. I think it has more to do with the political impact of the folks in the Centennial Authority and wanting it to keep it a bland arena that is both Wolfpack and Hurricanes, mm-hmm. and not necessarily promoting one more than the other, because if someone's going to say, well, if you put up Brindamore, you have to do something for the Wolfpack as well, and I'm fine, put up a David Robinson statue or something, I don't care.
How about David Thompson?
David Thompson or David Robinson.
You know what? I would love it more if they put a David Robinson statue and just had, and they never explain it.
Yeah.
It's just here.
Why is there a Navy guy here?
They never try to say that it's David Thompson. They're like, oh, just David Robinson.
Yeah,
I mean, the Admiral.
Yeah, he's the Admiral. He was a member of the armed services. Yeah. David Thompson. That's who I was going for. I think some sort of like a maybe a bit of a Hall of Fame, something that shows the history of the two organizations that are actually in there. I also want a kids area. And I know in the next few years, my kid's going to outgrow a kids area, but some sort of a dedicated space inside the arena for kids to have some fun. So that way families continue to get drawn into the arena. Because when kids love the arena, love the game, become part of that atmosphere, they eventually grow up and become paying season ticket holders. So, let's continue to kind of grow that grassroots.
I have two things I would do. One, blow out all the exterior walls in that arena, push them 8 feet wider so the concourses don't have to be so damn narrow in that building. If you go to other arenas, it does not feel nearly as tight as PNC does. The other thing, and this could be done much more affordably, much more reasonably, is take that reflective black tile out from behind the urinals in every men's room, because if you just don't want reflective surfaces on the urinals.
Yeah, yeah. We're not gonna dig further than that. Derek, this may be one of my favorite questions in Cheap Mail in a long time, because it's actually a legitimate question. Okay. This one from at Camel City Caniac.
Yes, I like this one.
If the Canes make the playoffs, what tasty beverage would you celebrate with the moment they clinch?
I actually have it in my wine fridge, and I looked at it the other day. It is a bottle of Cam Ward's wine I got for Christmas 2 or 3 years ago. I think 3. And I said, I am saving this until the Canes make the playoffs. So I hope it's still good. It's a 2012 cab. Should be good. Had a decent price tag attached to it. That is what I'm cracking when the Canes make the playoffs.
When the Canes make the playoffs, Derek, I will celebrate as all good Section 328ers should. I will tip back a bottle of Jägermeister.
Oh, there you go.
Until the deer blood fills me with that warm good feeling.
All right, speaking of warm good feelings, F Mary Kill non-playoff teams, assuming I'm sorry, this is from the Charlotte Caniac at CLT Caniac. Assuming the Canes are in, which bubble team would you F Mary Kill? Okay, so anyway, F Mary Kill bubble teams: Montreal, Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Okay. So I think this one's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to marry the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Correct.
I am going to F the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kill Sidney Crosby, Geno Malkin, Phil Kessel, and the multiple cup winning Pittsburgh Penguins, because I want Carey to be sad and hopeless, but B, I also do not want the opportunity to face two of the best players on the planet when they get their playoff hot streak that we all know could come.
That is the exact right answer.
Thank you. Not often do we agree on these things, Derek, but every now and then it happens. This one's a good crossover question for our wrestling love. This one comes from that Edmund guy. The Canes winning the Stanley Cup was the equivalent to which wrestler winning the WWF title? He throws out Mankind, Daniel Bryan, Eddie Guerrero, other.
Those are all good options. I noticed there was one name left out. He was the other guy who went the distance in the Royal Rumble alongside Shawn Michaels. I don't know who it was. His name kind of escapes me. I mean, those are all really good options. I'm trying to think of another like totally unexpected. Here's one. I don't know if it's considered the WWE Championship, because I think it was the big gold belt that he won, but I think right now you have to say the Canes winning the Stanley Cup is the equivalent to Dolph Ziggler when he became world champion. It happened, no one expected it, and he hasn't sniffed it since.
I was going to go very similarly, Derek, but I was actually going to throw something else on top of that. I was going to go outside of WWE to WCW.
Don't you do it.
And I was going to say, it's the Stanley Cup final win that an entire country hates because they think it's illegitimate, and they want to basically write it off the record books because it was a season without rules, Derek, where the rules changed, where people didn't take hockey seriously. That's right, David. David Arquette.
Oh, jeez, I was afraid you were going there. And then this is the last one that I have for you. Another F. Mary Kill from my buddy Al Hood at Al B. Hood. F. Mary Kill Storm Surge Edition. Bowling, baseball, Holyfield.
Ooh. Marrying the real deal.
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to spend every day with that one. I am going to F baseball. Just because it was so... It's because of the Dougie Hamilton sell job. It had less to do with the swing and the bat flip, and it was Dougie Hamilton whipping his head around to see the ball go over the fence and just how sad he was. Which means, unfortunately, I have to kill Andrei Svechnikov sliding. Oh,
Justin Williams bowling.
Justin Williams bowling, which was fine, but there was too much of a chance for those guys to get injured. And what I don't want to see is Don Cherry's wildest wet dreams come true and have somebody get injured, Martin Gramatica style, as part of a storm surge.
Oh,
first time I've ever dropped a Martin Gramatica on
and correction
podcast, I think.
Correction edition, it was Bill Gramatica.
Was it Bill Gramatica?
Who celebrated a field goal.
It was one of the Gramatica brothers.
Yes, I think Martin later hurt himself doing something stupid, but Bill was the one who we constantly mock. And once again, Mike, I can't believe this happened. We have gone 2 for 2 agreeing 100% on F. Mary Kill questions tonight.
You know what? You know one thing we won't agree on?
What's that?
The beer you're drinking.
Well, it's good beer. It's really tasty beer. So
I'm sure it is.
Tonight's Bottle Mix beer review brought to you by the good folks at Bottle Mix.
Yes.
You know where they are. I don't need to tell you that they're on Creedmoor Road, north of Crabtree, by like 3 miles. I don't need to tell you they're miles south of 540 behind businesses who we will not mention in the Brennan Station Shopping Center. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that they have a great selection of beer and of wines. And starting next Wednesday, they're doing a March Madness bracket where you can, based on the strength of your bracket, you could win Bottle Mix gift cards or a gift basket. Check them out on various social medias and your email, sign up for their emails. You can get all the details of what you can win as long as you are good at predicting basketball games. That being said, tonight's beer is called Carolina Gold. It is from the good folks at Fonta Flora up in beautiful, I think, Nebo, North Carolina. So this beer, I will read you from their website. It says it is mashed with local barley malts from their friends at Riverbend Malt House in Asheville, who do great stuff, along with Heaps Heritage Charleston Gold Rice from Anson Mills of South Carolina. So it does have rice in the beer, and that can be okay, especially when you're doing it as craft and, you know, old-fashioned as Fonta Flora does. They mentioned that this type of rice was a staple of the Carolinas up until in the 19th century. And then it moved further south where it got warmer, yada, yada. This is kind of a Saison-style rice. It is really, really tasty. It's gold in color. It's called Carolina Gold because that's the name of the rice. It's a clear-ish beer. It's kind of, and they even say so on their website, that it has a crisp, dry finish similar to Bud Heavy. And they even say, but much better. It is like a Saison met just a good beer-flavored beer, and there's a little extra richness to it, I think, from the rice.
Yeah, Mike? That's really tasty. I mean, the sweetness is kind of balanced out nicely by the by that tiny little bit of that Saison funky yeast thing that they've got going on. So I would refer to that beer as a crusher.
Yeah,
I mean, because that feels like, I'm going to spend the afternoon just crushing a six-pack. That feels like something you could crush.
It is 5.2%, so it's not too bad.
I mean, you crush a six-pack of them, and, you know, you'll forget the Winnipeg Jets even exist.
Yes, so highly recommend you check that out. Fonta Flora has that. They also have a really cool beer, and I don't know how many Bottle Mix got in, but Fonta Flora has a 25-ounce bottle, so a wine bottle size, of, I think it's another Saison, but made with oysters and sea salt from the Outer Banks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I picked one of those up. I haven't cracked it open yet. I think they may only have a few left. So head to Bottle Mix. Check that out. Tell them 328 sent you. They'll be sure to take care of you with great beer, great wine.
And again, planned for that Section 328 end of season tailgate, where we'll have plenty of good bottle mix beers out there, probably a few other beers, lots of great food. 4-4 Julian Fisher is going to be out there. I'm sure we'll draw all the folks from Fox Sports Carolina's out, and we'll make sure Sarah Sevian comes by from The Athletic. We're just dropping names here, Derek. If you would, don't mind, please pick them up for me.
Tim Apple's going to be there.
Yes, Tim Apple's going to be there. Jeff Amazon might drop by.
Yep.
Folks, thanks for listening. We're going to try to get this podcast up really quickly for those of you who want to try to listen to part of it before tonight's Columbus game.
Mike, if they're listening to this, they already know that you've put it out.
Oh, all right. If I've put it out and then the Columbus game is 8, the Columbus game's already started. So turn off the podcast now and get to watching the game. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
Yeah.